What is up, everybody? This is Recap and Rewind. I'm J-Lag.
And I'm NB.
And this episode is recapping and reviewing Riverdale Season 7, Episode 7. And it's called Chapter 124, Doity Dancing.
Doity? Doity.
Doity.
Doity Dancing. Don't forget, guys, stick around for the ending of the podcast. We're going to go through our recap roundups, MVPs, our LVPs, all of that good. So stick around for that.
As always, and to our continuing listeners and our brand new ones, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Let's get into the episode.
Let's get into it.
So what did you think about it, girl?
I mean, I thought it was okay. Like, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite of the season so far, but I definitely thought it was a strong one, and it was good. And we got a lot of development from, like, Veronica and, like, even, like, Kevin and Archie. I liked it. Yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought it had, like, some good moments, some frustrating moments to watch, obviously, but yeah, overall I think that it's just like a lot of lead up. This is like leading up to something bigger and like wilder, and I just want to know what that is and what that looks like. So I'm excited for what's going to come from this episode, I guess. Shall we get into it?
Let's get into it.
So it starts right off the top. This is right after like the window scene from last episode, and Hal basically told Alice about what Betty was doing, the dirty with Archie, and Alice ends up calling Hermione to yell at her about Veronica giving her the lingerie. And then after that, Alice goes and calls Penelope, who in turn ends up like gossiping about this whole situation to everybody.
Does Hal explain like why he came into her room? Like, does he say like, I had an inkling you were doing something?
No, there's no like reasoning to why we're supposed to assume that everything happened as perfectly as it did at the end of the episode.
He's like barging into her room. Like, why?
And like, it was like perfectly timed out with like Frank going into Archie's room. So like, still very sus.
Yeah.
Didn't really talk about it this episode. So I'm still wondering if there's some sort of secret club. And there are some moments this episode where the dads are having interactions with each other. And I'm just like, okay, like, but how do you guys know each other?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? Anyway. Cuts to the Andrews residence the next morning. Archie's like stressed out. He's like, my mom's never going to talk to me again. I'm like, what? Like, I'm so embarrassed. And Uncle Frank, and I love that they did this like side to side conversation between Archie and Frank, and then right after Alice and Betty. So the one with Archie and Frank, he's like, you know what? Boys will be boys. It is what it is. You know, you're just like a horny little teenager. Like, it's totally fine. Stay away from Betty, but like, all good, bro, like, no problem. Meanwhile, the same conversation is being had with Alice and Betty, and Alice is like laying into Betty. She's like, how could you do this? You're such a floozy. Like, you know, she thinks that she's completely out of control, and she says, now moving forward, you are going to be, after school, going to our dance show, the Riverdale Grandstand, so she can be tired and not have the energy to be a big fat hoe. And she also says, like, don't ever talk to that redheaded pervert again. Like, the end. Mm-hmm. Betty's like, whatever, mom. Cuts to the Pembroke, and Veronica is like tanning inside. Like, she's like got a whole setup on a chaise lounge. And Smithers comes in and tells her about a telegram that her parents just sent, basically saying, like, after what happened, because they found out that she's like cut off. Like, she no longer has an allowance.
No money.
And she now needs to work for her money at the Babylonian Theater. Veronica is pissed. She's like, this is child abuse. She's upset. She's like, they don't know what they're in for. I am cunning. I am the Wolf of Wall Street. I will find a way to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Then it cuts to Tom, and he's in Kevin's room, and he's reading his bodybuilding magazine that he found in his room, and he asks where he got it from. He's like, is it Clay? Is it a guy that you've been hanging out with recently? And Kevin's like, no, that it's literally a bodybuilding magazine. And Tom's just like sketched out. He's like, well, you broke up with your girlfriend. You're hanging with Clay. These magazines are everywhere. Like, what are you doing with your life? You might be gay. And he's like, I don't like that. I don't like it. He doesn't say it, but he's like, I don't like what I'm like seeing in this moment in time. And then it just escalates.
I thought it was a little presumptuous that like he took like the built like bodybuilding magazine and was like, what are you doing? I was like, okay, like.
I think it's also just like you get vibes like from your kid, and like maybe that's really what Tom is going after. And he can't just say like, I'm getting a vibe from you that you're different and you're off. Like he has to like build a case about it. You know what I mean? Which is why he was in his room in the first place.
Right. Yeah. Like, cause I was going to say, I'm like, I wonder if he was like tipped off by someone and that's what like made him go and like look for shit, you know?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It could be maybe it's very possible, but I think that more than anything else, I think it's just like you vibe your kid. He's not in any sports. He doesn't want to do any of those like manly things. So like what is his deal? You know, like, is he a homosexual? We don't know. So then it cuts to Riverdale High, and Principal Featherhead calls Jughead into the office right away, and he asks him about these comic books that he's writing. And essentially he tells him, if you do not sign this agreement that says you're never going to write another comic book again, you will be expelled. So Jughead is put into like a hard situation. He's basically like, F school, I'm done, whatever. But he takes the paper and walks away. Then it cuts to Betty walking into class, and everyone's like very awkward. Like everyone's staring at her because everybody knows what happened with her and Archie. Even some of the guys are like whistling at her like while she's walking in.
Yeah.
And then like again, it's like this like parallel. Archie walks in and all the guys are like, yeah, boy. Yeah, like they're so excited for him. And he sits down, but he's also not like reveling in it, I appreciated.
He was kind of embarrassed.
He's like, this is so embarrassing for me too. Like, please don't do this to me. And Archie and Betty like share like a quick look at each other, but like they don't really talk until like the very end of the episode. Then it cuts to Betty and Veronica in the locker room talking about what happened. Betty's like, or Veronica's like, so how far did you guys even get? Because like clearly, all the stories I'm hearing are very, very, very different. And Betty's like, honestly, we didn't even do anything. Like, it's not even a big deal.
We weren't even touching. We were like 10 feet apart.
We were like 40 feet away from each other. Like, what's the big deal? And Betty tells her about how she has to now dance on Riverdale Grandstand after school every day. And Veronica like wants to know a little bit more about what this is. And Cheryl's like, it is the best thing ever. Then you find out that Cheryl is the dance captain of Riverdale Grandstand because her parents are like one of the biggest sponsors of the show.
Right.
They ask Veronica if she wants to like join. Veronica's like, sorry, I can't. I'm actually starting a job and I cannot make it to your lame ass.
You know, like a career.
Yeah. You know, I'm a career woman now. Betty gets a bunch of rules from Cheryl and Cheryl walks away. Here's what I want to say about Cheryl. Cheryl's going through her own like sexual awakening, et cetera, but still they like pose her position and her character as this like icy bitchy queen that wants to like, you know, follow the rules and like still like she
plays that role. Like she plays both sides of it. Like she can be like that warm, like, hey, like I still have you, like I'm your friend. But then she plays like that kind of like almost borderline villain or like antagonist.
Yes.
Character. Right. So I never know what I'm going to get with Cheryl. Like when she comes up to Betty or she comes up to RGL, I'm like, which Cheryl am I actually going to get today?
For sure. Like we've been getting such a soft, open, emotional Cheryl for the last couple episodes. So to see her back to like the Ice Queen or whatever, it's just like, I don't know. It doesn't fit the same way that it used to. Anyway, then it cuts to basketball practice. Tom walks in with Kevin. He talks to Frank. They like do like a little bro, like, you know, like handshake, and all the while Archie's kind of like watching from afar, like watching them talk to each other. And then Tom leaves Kevin there, and then Frank introduces Kevin as like the new member of the basketball team. And then right away Julian's like, oh, just what we need, like another cream puff in the basketball team. Like he was just like a big raging homophobe this episode, and I was like, go to hell. It cuts to the Babylonian Theater. Veronica walks in, and honestly, I didn't even think she was gonna like show up to work. So like, I'm glad that she like,
which way is this story gonna go?
Yeah,
like
because originally she was like, oh, I'll show them, yeah. And then she like walks into work. I'm like, so you're gonna just go to work?
Like, I was like, is this gonna be like the simple life or like some other version where like she actually works?
Yeah, like and actually does the damn thing.
I have to say, like, I was really impressed by Veronica's storyline this episode. And once again, I think the filming was absolutely stunning. Like, all of her shots were so beautiful. Glamorous. Like, there was really something beautiful about her scenes in that old timey theater. I loved
cinema,
it.
Cinema, like,
and very, I love like, that Clay was a part of that.
Me too.
The storyline. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad that they put him into it because I'm like, how are they going to introduce this character? It's a great way to, like, just like, kind of sneak him in there. So she meets her new boss. The boss is like, cool. Essentially, you have to do everything though, because we are very, very short staffed. We're kind of just like trying to keep this thing running. And Clay kind of pops out of nowhere. He's like, I work here too, but I run like everything. I'm like the bellhop and I run the projector and I do this and I do this. So they're both going to be doing a bunch of jobs, but Veronica's excited. She's like, nice to meet you, Clay. Yeah. I'm excited to work with you. And she's like jumping in.
And again, like she can have this like vibe where she's like, ew, like work. Like, yeah, I don't want to like clean the chairs, but she's like excited. She's like, she's looking at this venture, like, oh my God, like this is so lit.
Very different energy from Veronica, which was great. Then it comes to the Riverdale Grandstand. Everyone's dancing. Betty's like in the corner. She's just like, cool. Like she just does not want to dance. She's not having a good time. Yeah, no. And Cheryl obviously is like peppy and they're on
all of
air.
A sudden Cheryl's like in the mood to dance. Like she was the one that wasn't dancing before.
She's like, hey girl, what do you want to do? You want to dance? You got to dance because people can't cut to you and you're like miserable. Like you're literally, your parents are the people of
like
the
Debbie Downer.
Like you cannot be this person. And so she tells her like, why don't you go dance with Dilton? Because like he doesn't have a partner either. So she like forces her to go dance with Dilton. Cheryl was really funny in this woman, actually. She was like really, really cute. She's like, just do it, Betty. I was gonna ask you, in this world, her and her parent, like their parents are not related. Like in the original series, they're cousins, right? Like there's like this like mysterious connection. I guess in this series or
maybe
in this world,
they're just not gonna cover it. Maybe
they're not gonna cover, or they never like uncover that they are actually Blossoms or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she goes and dances with Dilton. It's awkward moments all around. Then it cuts to Archie in the garage with his bike. He's like fixing it up, which is funny because like before it was his car and now he's like fixing the bike chain. I'm like, he's like downgraded so hard to like this little rickety bike. And so he asks Uncle Frank, like, what were you and Tom talking about? And Frank has to basically explain, like, you know, sometimes boys get confused, like how to act. And he says, like, don't worry, between you and me, Archie, like, we'll straighten him out. Like, he literally uses the words, like, straighten him out. And I'm like, oh, fucking kill me. So then it cuts to the front of Riverdale High. Kevin and Clay are talking. And, like, big ups to Archie Andrews in this whole episode. Like,
loved him.
He came with, like, the energy of, like, a teenager and like a good heart, and they really made his character like so
shine.
Lovable. So Archie sees Kevin and he's like, hey, like, do you want to come shoot hoops after school?
He like, was so like enthusiastic.
He was like, just so happy.
He kept trying to bring Kevin into the fold. Like,
and he's walking in like nothing, like he's not like,
no,
it's not like Frank is like, you better like hang out with Kevin and like do this. Like Archie's just doing it out of the goodness of his heart to be like, I want to just let's shoot some hoops. Like Kevin has never been a part of the team and now he wants to be part of it. Like, let's do this. So Kevin agrees. And then Archie walks away. Then it cuts to Pep Comics. Mr. Rayberry from last episode comes into Cash's check, or not Cash. He wants cash instead of
cash,
a check. So the guy like leaves and Jughead is kind of like left, like lingering, talking to him. And Mr. Rayberry is like, it's like lunchtime. Like, why are you not in school? And, Jughead basically tells him like, I might be leaving school because they're giving me an ultimatum and I don't want to stop doing comic books. And Mr. Rayberry is like, well, what time is your lunch? Like, maybe we should just chat. So they're still like, he's still mad at him, but like they're still talking to each other and he wants to go for lunch with him. Then it cuts to back to Riverdale High and Archie just asks Kevin right off the top, like, hey, like, I've known you since I was like, we were kids. Like, why are you joining the basketball team now? Like, you never had any interest in it before. And essentially Kevin has to divulge that like his dad wants him to do like more like manly stuff and straight people stuff, like doing this and doing this and going and doing sports and dating girls and all this other stuff. And Archie says like, oh well, I like those things, like I don't know what the problem is, like you're making it sound like it's such a bad thing,
it's like a chore. Yeah,
yeah. And Kevin's like, well, you're like a normal person. Aww. Archie. And I was just like, ugh. And
like Kevin says, it took us fucking 7 years to get to a point where Kevin Keller actually opened up and yeah. was like the most honest and vulnerable like he's yeah. ever been.
Yeah.
Like, truthfully.
I loved this episode for Kevin and what he yeah. goes through, because I feel like it really like gave us a story that we, it's not that we haven't seen this story before. It's more just
it was
like
just done differently.
His character completely. Was like what we needed to see, like that development, that change, that growth that we're going to be seeing moving forward. And his like his turmoil, his inner turmoil yeah. of like, I just want to be like everybody else, which yeah. is what he says to Archie at the end of the scene. I'm like, damn.
I also really appreciated that it was Archie that his story was paired with, because there's something, you know, we get it, like Betty understands, like even though she was like his ex-girlfriend, like she's a girl, like it's different. Just different, you know.
Yeah, when it's not like
but a girl, when it comes from a guy,
yeah,
like a teenager boy who could really care less, like he could be in his own bubble and do his own things,
right?
But to see that kind of character turn over to Kevin, be like, hey, like I just want to make you feel good, like come, like let's, like he was so innocent. And I love that they paired these two characters together
yeah,
in this episode. I loved it. It worked so perfectly good. And yeah. they don't get a lot of these two together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we get a few more scenes with them too, which is great. So then it cuts to Pop's Diner. Jughead right off the top is apologizing to Mr. Rayberry. I'm so sorry I did what I did. I didn't mean to like upset you. Mr. Rayberry does say like, I think I might have overreacted, you know, like, you know, it's all good. Like we're like trying to put that to bed. And then he's like, well, I'm more interested to talk to you about like school. Like, why are you leaving? What's the deal? Tell me about Dr. Werther's and the principal and like this whole BS that they're trying yeah. to like give you an ultimatum. So we don't hear it right then and there, but they come up with a plan. Then it cuts to Riverdale High and we're at the lockers, and douchebag Julian is talking to like some other teammate about how he hooked up with his girlfriend for the first time, and he's like going around and doing like the bro thing, and he's like, who's next, like what are we gonna do next, like who's gonna like get laid next,
like, you can't, how about you talk about yourself, loser, how about like, you talk about who you hooked up with.
I can't deal with him. So he's like, you can't be a real man unless you've gone all the way with a woman, like all the shit that you don't fucking want to hear. And it keeps cutting back to Kevin being more and more,
he's like worried,
like worried and nervous and very like yeah off about everything. And he turns to Kevin right away and he goes, yo, like what about you, like when are you gonna hook up with somebody? And then Archie even tries to back up, like yeah. like back him at that moment and says like, well Julian, like what about you, like aren't you a virgin? And we find out that Julian actually ended up hooking up with some woman named Twyla Twist, which we know from the original series. Yeah. On his 16th birthday, he went with his dad and like whatever, he like did the dirty,
a hooker basically. Yeah,
basically. And he asked Kevin right off the, like in front of everybody, like do you want to do it too, like I can set it up for you.
It was such a reach though, like it was so random.
I know, like, I was like, why are we doing this
with the hooker, like
yeah, like it was weird. It was weird for sure. And even Archie tries at this moment to stop him. He's like, honestly, Julian, like fuck off.
Yeah.
But Kevin like leans in and he's like, yeah, tell me, where yeah, do I need like, to be
oh, right now?
Let's just freaking do it. So then it cuts to the Babylonian Theater and Veronica asks Clay, like, why do you work here? Like, are you like a big fan of movies? Like, what's your story? So we do find out that Clay is a lover of movies, mm-hmm. and he actually wants to be like a famous black director, like one of the directors that were in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess we never really hear about. I forgot to write his name down.
Oh, I forgot to write his name down too. He says his name.
Like, yeah, he says yeah. his name, and he says like he was big at the same time as these other ones that were really big, and I'm assuming those ones were white. So like Veronica, who like is big on film, was like, who's that? Like she wasn't even sure
yeah.
herself about the black director. So it just goes to show, like I mean, it still happens to this freaking day,
for sure.
But like, you know, you have like there's a big difference in Hollywood about who mm-hmm. sees what. So then Veronica's like, well, I know you didn't ask about me, but I'm gonna tell you about me anyways. I never wanted wanted to be in front of the cameras, but I would like to be near them. And then Clay's like, well, why don't you run a studio and I can like, you can hire me to direct you. God. Like, what a great idea. Cause I'm so rich and I'm so like, you know, I can be totally do it.
The studio.
And Clay's like, I'm so happy for you. Like, cool.
like, but promise to hire me. Okay.
Yeah. She's please. Like, okay, hire me. Yeah. So then at that point in time, her boss comes in and she's like, because she's ready. They've been like mopping the floors and cleaning up the theater. And she's like, okay, we're ready for our patrons. Like, where are they? And the boss is like, this is it. Like, it's like, there's nobody here.
No one.
And he says it's because of the TV that just, I guess, got invented, or like they're there now. People are at their homes, and drive-ins are like really taking over, like people wanting to go in the theaters.
And he even references like the drive-in that's in the first season that Jughead lives in.
I didn't even notice that. Okay.
The name of it, like Starlight or something, like Star Twinkle or something.
Okay.
Like a certain name, and then I'm like, oh, that's the drive-in theater from the first season.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So he's like saying that there's all these other things popping up. Like, why would they need to do the theater? And Veronica's like, no, this theater is beautiful. It's magical and it's a palace and blah blah blah. And she's like, why don't we just do a commercial in the middle of the Riverdale grandstand so you can like do the damn thing. I know.
First of all,
I
want to talk. This, I can't wait to talk. This moment, I was like, she's leading up to this commercial, and I'm like, is this gonna become like the Nicole Kidman like AMC? Have you seen that commercial? That Nicole
it's very like, that is energy.
This,
like,
leading up to she's this, like,
it is. Yeah, 100%. That is literally what it was.
In my head, I was like, what is this leading up to? Because this sounds like the Nicole Kidman commercial.
It's almost like word for word exactly like how it was set up. So anyway, she wants to do this commercial. Then it cuts to the Riverdale grandstand, and Betty's kind of on the side. She's not dancing. And some guy named Troy is like, hey, my partner, you know, she got sick. Can you dance with me? Betty's like, cool. Sounds good. I'll dance with you. During the slow dance moment, he's like dancing with her. And he's like, hey, so is it true? Like what people are saying about you? Yeah. Like you're a big fat whore and you like to like do like little shows for your people and for your boys. And then he offers to say like, oh, like why don't we go like after the show, like go to the river and you can like, give me like a private show. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like he like puts his hand on her ass, like he like literally like gropes her
assault.
And she slaps him. And the best part about this is it was literally all live. Veronica sees it at home with Clay.
She's like, that's she's my girl. Like,
get it, girl. That's it. That's how you do it.
Even Clay was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah.
And like Alice obviously is like, you can't do that. Cuts back to the Cooper residence after that. And Alice is like getting so pissed. She's like, how could you do this? Like, you know,
Mom,
that you
like, should be showing us.
Like, she's, yeah.
She's like, yeah, because says, you're like the freak of the streets right now.
I cannot handle like Alice's stance on all of this. Like, it's really,
she not once really supports irritating Betty in me. Anything.
Yeah.
In anything.
It just like irritates me so much. Like, I don't even understand how I'm supposed to like connect to a character this
I don't think horrible. You're supposed to though,
because even at the end, anyway, we can talk about it at the end, because like even what she says at the end, I'm like, well, go fuck yourself, Alice. Like, I don't know what to say.
She anyway.
So she's like, you still have to be on the show, but you can't like dance now. You have to sit in the corner by yourself.
Why do they want her to be on the show? Like, because so that she could like stay with them. Like,
yeah, she just wants them to be her to be preoccupied now at this point. First it was like just like, so you have no energy to like do any sexy things,
to fuck around.
But now we can like watch you from like 3 to 6. So then it cuts to Jughead, and he goes to visit Mr. Rayberry at his house, and he's like, listen, I don't want to give up writing. And Mr. Rayberry is like, yeah, and you also shouldn't leave school, so let's come up with a plan. And he says a lot of people in Hollywood, in New York or whatever, they publish under a pseudonym, so you should do the same thing. Like, you can still write your comic. I know, I was like, that was the easiest solve in the world. Thanks. You guys had to like talk about this in the middle of the night. So he says like, yeah, just like create a pseudonym, and we also have to kind of throw them off their tracks so they don't think it's like that easy and simple. Right. You have to like come up with some other like plan to show that like you're still working comics, but like it's not like the gory ones. So then it cuts to Riverdale High, and Kevin is like freaking out to Archie. He's like, what the fuck do I do? And now I need to like go and talk to this Twyla lady. I don't want to do this. Like he's losing it. And Archie's like doing whatever he thinks that is appropriate, which is like, just like get in there, bro. And like let nature, he says, let nature take its course. And Kevin is just like, what did you do? What was your time first time like? And Archie's like, I'm a virgin. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know. And then Kevin gets upset and he's like, why do I have to prove something? And Archie just has to like do nothing. He's like, that is the saddest thing in the world.
Why do you think that is? Like, why?
I mean, I think it's just because Archie is in like basketball and he especially now has done all like the stuff with Betty and you know like he doesn't seem to be like the typical like
virginal
like you know like whatever queer kid, whereas like Kevin likes doesn't like any of those things. He likes poetry and music and like the arts, so he like he's gonna be questioned. And like it is interesting because you see this like standoff like profile shot of the both of them looking at each other, and Kevin is saying to him like, why is it different between you and I, like why? And he's just upset. Then it cuts to the principal's office, and now Mr. Rayberry is basically sitting in with Jughead. He slides him the paper and he's like, we signed it, we agree. And they're kind of questioning like, why are you even here? Like, what are you even doing here for Jughead? And Mr. Rayberry says like, well, I'm mentoring him and I think that he can still work at Pops. He's gonna work on this like kid comic, you're gonna let him stay in school. And I think at one point in time, I think the principal was fine with it, but it was like the other guy,
he was like lit. He's like, no.
He's like, you have to get rid of comics completely and da da da. And then Mr. Rayberry basically threatened to like take him to Supreme Court.
Yeah, because he was like, are you like taking away my like constitutional right? Like I have free will. Like I can still do what I want. And then he's like, I will take you to the Supreme Court. And I was happy that came up.
He like escalated.
Who are you? Like, who are you that you're like dictating all these rules?
Like, tinny little town, like go away.
And then the minute he said that, the principal started. So this is really where things change. And I was like, okay, hold on. What is happening here?
Yeah.
Because the principal got scared. He was like, oh, no. Like, we're good. Like, keep doing like your comics, especially if it's like an okay comic, like we're okay with that.
Right.
And then the other guy was like, fine, like I guess we'll be fine with it. And I was
for
like,
now.
What is this dynamic? Like, I don't understand this. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I guess it seems that like the principal kind of like gets that he's more scared, and it feels like the psychologist is the one who's really influencing his bullshit.
Which makes me believe even more that there is something going on. Like there is a ring of situation. These men that are like controlling something for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, they agree he's good to go back to school, all good. Then it cuts to Kevin with Twyla in the motel, and Kevin's like nervous as fuck because obviously he's like 16 years old. And Twyla's like, don't worry honey, like let's put on some music, like hold me close, like let's just dance. So then we're like, okay, cool. Like he's gonna literally hook up with a hooker. Then it cuts to Pop's Diner, and Betty is picking up some takeout, and she sees Archie, like, and he's finishing his dinner, and they like talk. They have like their first conversation the entire episode. Like
since last week.
Since like the undressing.
Yeah.
And he asks her about Kevin. I didn't know it was gonna go that way. I thought they were gonna like talk about them. Like I thought he was gonna be like, so like you and me, like we good?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You know? But instead he like wants to really know about Kevin. And he kind of asks without really asking, like, is he gay? Like what's the situation? Like,
is there something different? Did you guys, or something about
Kevin? Is there something off about him essentially? And Betty's like, you're not actually asking me to kiss and tell, like that's kind of rude. Like what are you doing? And that's when Archie says like, well, it doesn't really matter because like after tonight, like things are going to be different.
I thought it was a great conversation. Like honestly, like it was such an
I'm glad it happened.
Adult conversation. Yeah. The fact that he even approached her and asked about Kevin, like for again, sure. To your point, he could have just been like, oh, I'm sorry that like things got like, he could have been very about himself and like just brought himself up. He asked about Kevin. I love that she doesn't kiss and tell and she's like, no, like I don't want to say anything. Like that's
his business.
So I can't say that. And it was just overall such an mature conversation. And I love that Archie stuck his head out to ask about his friend because he was concerned, you know?
Yeah. I thought it worked really, really well.
Loved it. Yeah.
And Betty like prods even more, and she's like, okay, what is happening tonight? And that's when he like tells her about Kevin, or about Twyla.
Yeah.
Then it cuts to the motel, and right away Archie's like, stop, Kevin, stop,
take back, like,
it. Like, don't do it. The thing that killed me the most was Archie literally runs into the room of a woman who is paid to have sex with people, and the door is completely unlocked.
Of
like,
course,
no problems whatsoever. Like, not that he's an underage kid that you're having sex with, like, no problems at all. And he tells Kevin to stop, and then he's already sitting on the, like,
he was like couch crying.
And Twyla's like, yeah, like, we didn't even do anything because, like, he just started crying. He said he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So Archie takes him, and that's the end of that.
It was so cute.
I know, it was really cute. I'm like, he like helped him. Then the next scene is them at in front of the school at night, and Kevin talks to Archie and says, like, how am I gonna like face the boys tomorrow? Like, what are we gonna do? And Archie says, like, or no, first he says, like, why did you stop me? Like, why did you even come to get me? And Archie says, like, well, Betty, like, said that I fucked up. Yeah. I needed to get you immediately.
Yeah.
So there was that. And Kevin then says, like, I don't know what to do. Like, they're going to ask me at school. And Archie's like, don't worry, I got your back. Like, we'll lie together. There's some things that I can, like say.
As
like,
you're talking right now. He figures and
solutions it. Yeah.
You know, as you're talking right now, I'm like, how are we this deep to Kevin's storyline? And I really do love it. I think it's such a beautiful story arc for him, and we've wasted all of these seasons talking about like cults and tree monsters and like evil, like, and I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm like, this is such a beautiful story to have told. Yeah. And I'm so happy we're getting it now,
right? But, like, instead of a not at all,
I'm like, see, like, there was content all along.
Yeah, to for talk sure.
About, you know,
and like you said, like, an unlikely pair of having Kevin and Archie together in a scene and like working together on this. I thought it was so nice to see. 100%. And also, like, didn't know that I wanted it. And now that it was there and it played out, I was like, that's so great.
It's such a real interaction. It's such a real interaction, because in the regular timeline, they would have just kept him with Betty. That's it. Like, Betty and Kevin.
Just have Betty, and that's fine.
It's not normal. Yeah. Like, he's going to interact with other kids around the school, and, like, he's going to take part in other activities. And, like, and, you know, there's even moments where we see Archie, Clay, and Kevin. And I love those moments, too. Like, it just makes it feel like a more organic high school setting when all these different characters are interacting with each other.
Yeah,
and we're getting to spend that time with them, you know?
Yeah. No, for sure. So he's like, don't worry, I got your back, bro. So Veronica does this commercial for the theater, and it's like the fullest of productions. Like, she pulls this together in literally like less than 24 hours. I died watching this commercial. What did,
like,
you think of
the commercial? I was like, bruh, this girl shot an Oscar-worthy, like, cinematic experience in the 50s, guys. This is not a digital camera. This is, like, real film.
Holy, yeah,
like, real film. Like, how did this biatch do this? It was genius, first of all. Yeah. Like, marketing genius. And on top of that, it was definitely the Nicole Kidman AMC.
Like, shout out. Commercial. Yeah, it was fully like, that.
The cinema, the theater, movies.
Like, feels.
They take laugh. It. Way. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
The boss loved it. He's like, this is perfect. And then he divulges to say, well, just letting you know, like, we are selling the Babylonium.
She's like,
like, I just spent $24,000 on this commercial.
$60,000 on this commercial. Of my own money from my piggy bank. Okay.
I know. Like, what the hell? So, like, I was like, why could you divulge this information earlier to her? Like, her parents are the one who are buying the freaking place. And they're going to turn it into a parking lot. So she's like, oh, hell no. Who needs a parking lot? And, like, you guys are living in, like, nowhere. Like, you guys are not even in Riverdale to know that they need a parking lot.
But you know what? This to me just kind of, like, again, it symbolized that, like, inkling of the lodges. Because that whole lodge storyline was always, like, expansion and, like, taking, like, Riverdale staples away and, like, building new things.
Yes,
it kind of just gave that lodge
feel. For sure. Absolutely. But what I didn't understand was the fact that she was working there for a day. They told her to get a job there, and they were like, by the way, it's closing down. So she's doing everything she can to like, keep this thing going. And they're like, no, but like, you got a job for like a day, and that's all really wanted you to do. Like, I don't understand why they would have made her get a job there if it was going to get shut down, because they bought it. Yeah. Like, it makes no sense at all. Anyway, whatever. So then it cuts to Pop's Diner, and Jughead and Mr. Rayberry are having like a cute bonding moment. They're like very excited about everything. He asks, like, Jughead is like, well, like, what do you think about actually being my mentor? Like, how do you feel about that? And Mr. Rayberry is like, sure, absolutely. Like, let's do it. What I wrote down though is like, I love that they have something between Jughead and Rayberry, but like, what's in it for Rayberry? Like, does he see himself in Jughead? Like, we never heard him say like why he has such an affinity toward Jughead. Like, he is like taking time out of his day to like go to his school and like, you know, do all these things. Like, I wish that they had one conversation where he's like, listen, I didn't have my dad tell me that I didn't go to school. I dropped out. I was like a deadbeat writer for half my life. Like, you don't want that path for yourself. You need to stay in school. I got you, bro. Like, let's do this together. I will mentor you on the writing side of things if you stay in school. Like, I wish we had like one more scene, because yeah, it was cute to see them like together and whatever, but I'm also like looking at Rayberry really being like, but like, do you give a shit about this kid? Like, why are you even here?
If you ever had a mentor, like, I feel like that's the same question. Like, why does a mentor want to mentor you? Like, there has to be some sort of thing that they get enjoyment out of teaching, you know, someone else that is maybe in the same career path or like whatever. And for I do think that's happened with these two. But to your point, like, I did start to question it here, and I was like, what is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, what is there an ulterior motive?
Exactly. But
when I got to the end of the episode, I realized that like, okay, maybe like that was wrong for me to think of. But in this one, I did think that.
Yeah, because I feel like it could go one of the two ways. It could either be like, oh, this is actually genuine, or like, he's going to murder you later. You know?
Especially like, after Jughead like stole his shit. Like, after all that he did, and he's like, no, I'm like, you stole my shit, I'm out. Like, I'm
exactly. He was like, no, absolutely. After you stole my shit, I will definitely like take you on under my wing. Like, I just didn't get why he was giving him so much patience. So then it cuts to Veronica, and she sees an expensive painting on the wall at home, and she's like, ooh, an original. Like, I wonder how much this would like get me. So, you know, that something's cooking there. Then it cuts to Kevin getting home, and his dad is in his room once again. And, it turns out that it was Tom Keller the whole freaking time.
Like, why?
Also, like, disgusting. Like,
disgusting.
I also feel like this is probably like based on true events in like some time.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened.
Time period. For sure. And it's absolutely horrible that dads did this to their sons. But like, he's the one that suggested Twyla to Julian. Like, Tom knows of Twyla apparently. And he's like, I also know you didn't do it, and I know that you cried.
Shut up. Like, I hated him for this.
I hate him for so many reasons. Number one, you were the sheriff of a fucking town, and you're telling your son to, your underage son, to go and have sex with a like prostitute.
Yeah.
Like, where is the sheriff? Where is the law? And also, the second part that I hated the most about this is, again, I
mean, are we really questioning Sheriff Keller and like his job? Like,
he's a terrible sheriff, and he's also a worse father. Yeah. Like, surprise. The one thing that I will say about his character this episode that I was really disappointed in, and I get why they wanted to go with it with him, is, like, he was an accepting father in, like, the original series. Like, he did embrace Kevin. Mm-hmm. Like, he basically used to tell Kevin, like, why are you so fucked up? Like, I loved you. Like, we never really had any problems, even when you came out to me. So, like, what's the issue? And the thing that I get frustrated with is, like, I guess it has to do with, like, the timing of this whole, like, final season. But, like, I said it before, they introduced Mrs. Keller, like, a few episodes back. Like, Alice was talking to her on the phone. They just had never physically showed her. They could have easily had Mrs. Keller be the one that we all hate and are annoyed by. Like, she's the reason why. Or, like, but maybe she's not even around. And, like, maybe that's where Tom's, like, frustration comes from. Like, the fact that they even dropped that, it makes me so upset that they even wrote that in. Because I'm like, you could have just assumed that she died, just like she did in the original series. And I wouldn't have thought otherwise.
Yeah.
But the fact that they made her alive, I'm like, where is Mrs. Keller? Well, why isn't she here for her son? Like, why is she here for her husband? Maybe we
have to question that more, right? It's like, why did this woman leave her family to, and like, this man is control? Like, it seems just like the men are controlling everything.
Right. Very, like, yeah, exactly.
And Mary is a little unhinged because her husband is no longer there. Like, Mary's situation might have been a little bit different if Fred was still around, but because she's on her own, she's sort of like,
she takes the step forward
in a different way. I mean, Frank tried to railroad her too last week, and she was like, get the fuck out of here, like, I'm good.
Right.
So maybe it's gonna like connect to that, if like we found out that Kevin's mom just left because she couldn't handle Sheriff Keller.
Yeah,
like,
he was too maybe
controlling, you know,
maybe. Yeah for sure. So anyway, that happens. Sad moment for Kevin. I was like, oh God. Like, I was watching it and like, I stopped typing just because like, it is mortifying to hear that your dad, like your parent or someone that you care about and you're afraid of, like basically knowing all your shit, all your dark secrets, all the things that you don't want anybody to know. Mm. Like, they're facing you and telling you like, I know what's up. You're fucked up. Mm. Basically in like not by saying it, like, he never said like, you're fucked up for that, like, you cried and you couldn't have sex with the prostitute. Like, he didn't come after him, but like, even him like taking that last sip of whiskey and walking out of the room without saying any other words, like, that cut deep. Like, watching that scene was really hard to watch. I was like, fuck. So then it cuts to Archie at home talking to Frank, and Frank is like, oh, like, Tom just called me and says like, you know, Kevin's off the basketball team. Like, I don't know what happened. And Frank goes on to say to Archie, I feel bad for Tom for having a son that's bent. Like, not straight, but like bent. And I was like, I can't deal with the 50s. Oh my God, get me the fuck out of the 50s. Like, this is the thing. And I'll say, this might not be the last time I say it, but like, I still get frustrated with the fact that they pulled us all the way back to this time, because these stories are still so relevant 100%. Now. 100%. And we could have, there is enough here now in this day and age, like in this world, 2023, in the current time period that they were dealing with, that are like still problems. And like, I get that this is a coming out story and it was a time where those things were not understood, but like, I can't give grace to people like Frank or grace to people like Tom who are going to just come around eventually when like, it's 2023 and people have education and they are smart and they're fighting against it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even like, it's not like people are not educated. It's not like I can say to Frank and be like, but if you read a book or if you like learned about gay people, then you would be totally fine. Or like, the society would be fine. It's like, we know that now in 2023 and we still have fucking problems.
Of course,
and it's just like, I don't know, this 50s situation, it's starting to slowly grate on me. This episode, I think, was the one that was like the most like prevalent and like most apparent. And maybe it has to do with the gay storyline connection. And like, even the stuff with Betty and her having to deal with what she's about to deal with, like, everything's starting to feel so like oppressive. And like, why am I watching The Handmaid's Tale? Like, what is, like, it is too.
Well, that's what it's going to get down to.
Depressing.
Right? That's what
it's going
to get down to. Even Handmaid's Tale, it starts off sort of, you know, something's off. You don't quite know yet. They don't really know because they're living in this world.
Right.
Then shit starts to slowly, you know, unravel.
But it was always like.
And then it's like toppled over.
Yeah. And when we used to watch it, I used to say to you, like, it was always every season. This is not a spoiler if you still want to watch Handmaid's Tale, but like, it was always like, 2 steps forward, 3 steps back.
100
it was always
steps
like
back.
We're making progression.
Leave and come back. Girl, what?
Yeah. So like, I would get frustrated with like the situation that they were in, and I feel like I don't want to get to a point where I'm trying to enjoy this show. I love that it's like a different era, but like, these social justice or these issues that are real issues that they were dealing with are still so prevalent now, and it's starting to frustrate me. But anyways. That's all I'm going to say about that. I would love to know how people feel, like, our listeners, like, is that wild to say? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So then it cuts to the Babylonium, and Veronica tells her boss that she wants to buy the Babylonium with this painting that she took off of her parents' wall, which I'm like, okay. And that's the thing. She was like, this is from like my personal. I'm like, not your personal. No, like that is
in your parents' house. So they haven't been in for like years.
Yeah. So she's like, you can buy, like, basically this entire painting can buy you out completely. And she says, like, you know, working at the Babylonium, like, really, like, reignited something in me. I really want to, like, do something with this place, which I know that they're, like, leading to, like, She-Wolf of Wall Street, Veronica, yeah. Which, like, cool, yeah. Good for you. But, like, once again, we're in high school. This girl is owning a business. Like, what is happening?
Look, it I'm only made sense in the time there. Jump. Like, I was all for her working there and, like,
yeah.
Like doing a commercial and, like, then it becomes lit. Like, I was all, but, like, for her to own it, I was like okay, like, we're really? Going back to, like, She-Wolf. It's like, we don't literally need to go there.
Not even She-Wolf. It was before She-Wolf when she was owning the freaking speakeasy in the basement speakeasy. As a 16-year-old. Like, girl, like, it's nothing's realistic about this storyline at all. Anyway, whatever. Good for you, Veronica. And Clay's, and the thing that kills me is Clay said they're like, cool. So, like, this girl just walks in and buys a fucking theater. She's like, what a boss. Yeah. So then it cuts to Riverdale High. Archie has a conversation with Betty and it's like, I'm so sad about what happened with Kevin. I wish I did more. I really just wanted to do more for him. And Betty consoles him. She's like, you did what you could. Like, you know, it's not your fault. Like, you even tried to, like, help him out in that situation. And then Cheryl sees them together. She's like, well, 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 here they are. Here are some invites. And they're doing like a 50th episode of Grandstand celebration. They need new faces on the TV. So she's like, you're invited. And then Archie actually stands up as soon as Cheryl leaves and is like, this is messed up. Like, the adults are controlling us. They want to do all these things with us. And Betty says, she's like, yeah, like, we're all messed up and they're ignoring our actual real problems. And in reality, like, they're just seeing people, like, kids dance on TV and everybody's like, everybody's fine. It's mm-hmm. like, no, we're not fine. We're all messed up. So then Betty has an idea. She's like, I know what to do. And I was like, I knew you were going to do something sneaky deaky. So it cuts to the grandstand. People are dancing, and then they're like, let's introduce the new craze dance, the twirl. First of all, let me just talk about the fact that the twirl is, like, I'm sure it was, like, a real thing that happened. How was the twirl, like, a dance craze? You're spinning it was, in a it was circle like with the skirt on. Like, there was literally nothing to it. You watch a TikTok, and there's, like, dun, 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 dun. Like, this one is literally, like, spinning. And they're like, whoa, what a craze. They're like, mind blown.
Yeah.
And then this is when Betty's, like, planning is being enacted. She walks up. She's like, y'all girls want to see a real twirl? She, like, fucking spins. And sure enough, just like what I predicted, she shows her underwear while she's spinning
because she's like twirling like so fast,
so hard,
and like, but that's, like, it goes up.
Yeah, it goes up. It's like okay. One of those like toys that we had in the 90s. Ones like so it's like showing her underwear, and it's a red underwear, so I think that also was like a symbolic Crimson thing where it was red. Like, she's like, I am racy. And then right away, like, they cut to commercial. Betty's like, I did it.
Everyone's faces, yeah. Like, Archie's was like, ooh. He's like, I've seen that before.
Yeah, Jolene's he's like, we almost got there. Face. It was yeah, everyone's funny. Gagged. And then Alice loses that on her after the show. Everyone's gone, and Betty's like, well, mom. Because she says, like, you're out of control. What's wrong with you? And Betty basically says, like, no, I'm actually totally fine. I did all of that on purpose. Yeah. Do not ever invite me to the show ever again. And Alice says, like, yeah, you were off the show. You were never going to this. And then Alice says, but you broke my heart, Betty. And I was like, first of all, we've heard this line from Alice a million fucking times. And it's generally, for the most part, never Betty's actual fault.
Yeah.
Like, Alice is just, like, losing her mind as a mother. And the thing that, again, frustrates me is, yeah, it broke your heart. Okay, bye, Alice. Like, how am I supposed to connect with you in this final season of this character that we do love? Like, truly, we do love Alice.
But maybe you're not supposed to in this world.
Why?
You
know? Why do they make her such a villain? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Anyway, she broke her heart. She leaves. Cuts to the Pembroke, and Veronica tells Smithers to write a telegram to her parents and says, can you just write that I bought the Babylonium? Good night. Say hi to Uncle Oscar for me. And I was like, okay, bye. Then it cuts to Riverdale High. Archie goes up and talks to Clay and Kevin, like, while they're having lunch, or, like, you know, they're sitting at the front. And he does the same thing. He's like, let's talk, let's do things. And Kevin's like, actually, I'm off the team now. And Archie's like, no, but I want to just, like, talk about movies. Yeah. And, like, he literally says, like, I want to break bread with you guys and, like, hang out and, like, talk about stuff. And Kevin's like, yeah, I'm down with that.
It was so cute.
It was so freaking cute. I loved it. And Archie, again, was, like, highest energy level ever. KJ Apa, like,
throwing the ball in the air. Yeah, like, he's talking. Like, woo! It was so cute.
Then it cuts to Betty walking down the hall, and, like, literally now at this point, like, she's like freaking Scarlet, what's it called, the Scarlet Letter. Yeah, she's like, everyone's looking at her as, like, the whore of the school. And then even Cheryl, there's a shot of her slow motion, like, passing her, and Cheryl's like,
she's like, red's my color,
bitch. I'm like, you just tongued your girlfriend, like, last episode. Like, take it down a few notches, girl. You freaking prude. And then at the very end of the hallway, Dr. Werther's, there's, like, a literal record scratch. And Dr. Werther's is like, I'd like to talk to you in my office, please. So in his office, he essentially says that Betty is, like, a tortured woman. And we need to do something, like, about it. And I was like,
she's like, I'm good, bruh.
Like, I don't need no help. And this is I don't really know what the format of this season is going to be, but if everybody ends up in this motherfucker's office, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
You know what would be really cool, Jayla?
Yeah, what?
If they did an episode like The Breakfast Club, like, slowly, if he started taking them all and, like, giving them detention,
and he had
just, like, one episode where it was, like, because, like, they did that in the flashback.
Yeah.
That's cute.
This one is, like, yeah, I don't know, like, him having to intrude on every single person's life, extra. I'm just like,
well, now because he can't get Jughead, right? So, like, now he's, like, moving on to the next person.
Because he got Jughead. At this point, he's got Archie. Now it's going to be Betty. Oh,
true.
Like, they're just going to go through each person have them conquer whatever thing they need to conquer. But I'm just like, Betty does not give a fuck about you. Like, let her be. Like, she's totally fine. Also a question, how Betty has the strength that she has despite the fact that, like, her mom is shit, and, like, the only person that she can really look up to is Veronica, who's like, get it, girl. Everybody else, including Cheryl, including her peers, are like, you're a whore, you know? So, like, considering all that, like, Betty's really holding herself together. Definitely. So the final scene that we see, Jughead's like, yeah, while, like, Dr. Werther's or whatever is being preoccupied with Betty, I got to write my comic books. And then the final scene we see is Mr. Rayberry getting a knock on the door. He opens the door, and it's a milkman.
Anybody order some milk?
And that's how that it ends.
Got me. I was like, what the fuck?
And he, like, looked really creepy.
So,
like,
what do you think?
I didn't recognize him, right?
No, I didn't recognize him.
Mr. Rayberry is going to die. Like, I think it's over for him.
I think they got
curtains
pissed,
are closing on him.
He tried to one-up them, and he was like, I'll get the, you know, United States government on your ass. And they were like, oh, yeah? Well, the milkman's going to drop by soon.
Oh, so you think that it's like Dr. Werther's.
100%.
They ordered the hit.
I didn't even
look at it that way. Yeah. Okay, work. But then why did Ethel's parents get in trouble?
Maybe that's gonna be answered. Maybe we'll figure that out. Like,
there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were, like, the inciting incident to show, like, kids are out of control. Right. Even someone like Ethel can, like, be crazy.
Right.
You know? Maybe that's, like, they were the sacrifice to show that, like, the kids need control. Interesting theories. They're throwing this back in, I'm like, this is the mix. This is Riverdale. There's always, like, a murder in there. So let's go.
Who's the milkman?
What is it?
He murders them? Like, he takes out, like, in his milk carton, he's got, like, a chainsaw? Like, what? I want to know, like, what it is.
Maybe
he
just, like, stabs them to death.
Yeah.
Maybe. No, he just, like, murders them and, like, leaves.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think he is a hitman, essentially. the mm-hmm. Hitman Milkman. Mm-hmm. Let's get into our recap roundups.
Recap roundups.
Best moment.
What was your best moment?
My best moment is all the Kevin and Archie's moments because yeah. they were so freaking cute. Oh my God, I was just dying at the cuteness. And I just love that they paired these two characters together that we never really get them together.
For sure.
And it was really meaningful. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. My best moment is Betty slapping the guy on air. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny to like watch it happen. Not the groping part, but the slapping part. And then also the fact that it was like televised. Like, and Veronica yeah. was like, yas, girl, get it. I was like, yes.
Like,
that
my girl.
WTF moment.
What was your WTF moment?
WTF moment, I think I'm going to give it to the fact that Veronica spent probably $100,000 on a commercial promoting her business. 30-second commercial. And then the next scene, they were like, oh, by the way, we're selling. We've sold the business. And she's like, bitch, what? Like, could I have not known before?
Like, you could have told me a few episodes, like, 3 days before.
It was just so random. Like, they could yeah. have done it where, like, her commercial, like, changed the game. Like, everyone yeah. all of a sudden, like, came. And then her parents, like, rethought about, like, selling. They're like, oh, no, like, it's lit now. Like, let's not sell it. Like, it made no sense.
That's exactly what Nicole Kidman thought she was doing with that commercial. She's like, I am going to change cinema forever. Change the game.
That's it. If anyone can change, it's Nicole Kidman.
It's Nicole Kidman. That's a good one. My WTF moment is also Veronica, but it's when she bought the Babylonian with the painting of all right. things. I was like, okay, girl. Like, 16 years old, really? Right now, we're doing this
really,
in this world?
Girl, you cool. got those.
MVP.
It's funny because I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, like Veronica, oh, Betty, I'm going to give it to the whole core four. Like, honestly, ooh, like, I will give it to each four. One of the core four for showing up in some regard. Jughead, like, not so much, but he was still good. Like, his yeah. teams were still good. But all of them, I think, did really well.
Such a good, yeah, that's a good one. I'm giving mine to a single Archie effing Andrews because I thought that he really did the damn thing yeah. this episode. Supportive ally. He doesn't even know what that means at this point in time in his life, but he is just in there helping out poor Kevin, who has no idea what the F is going on with his life either. So I enjoyed that very much.
LVP.
Who's your LVP?
My LVP is going to be the milkman.
You're just, like, the guy.
Just because I kind of wanted to talk about a bit more, we already did, but I was like, who is he? Is he a hired hitman?
Yeah.
Is he working for these guys? Like, it does seem like after like Bradbury like pissed them off, like now he has a hit on him. Like, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it can't be random now. We can't assume that it's random.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And my LVP is Tom Keller for being the worst father and sheriff of all time. I also threw Frank in there because, like, he also sucks. So all the dads, definitely. All like the male yeah. like father figures can go yeah. down.
The best line.
What was your best line?
I don't have a best line, so you say yours.
My best line is Betty at the very end talking to Alice, and she says, I'm in complete control. I knew exactly what I was doing and why. And I just thought it was like, damn, Betty, just like, do it. Do the damn thing. Stand up
know
and be like,
yourself.
What? You guys. So I was happy about that line. Yeah, that's mine.
Loved it. Okay, some of our recap roundups from our listeners. At Sierra N, MVP Archie, hands down. Even if he is clueless to Kevin's actual situation, he really was, in my opinion, Archie in top form. Like, this is the best type of Archie, and it's also a testament to KJ's performance and the way he's selling the more innocent version of Archie.
Yes.
His friendship with Kevin was so refreshing to see, and as a gay man in high school, I would have killed to have a friend like Archie, so seeing this on TV was really special. Oh, so cute.
That's so cute.
Honorable mentions to Betty. Her defying her parents' fucked up mentality was so entertaining, but I also felt awful for her. It's so frustrating yeah. seeing the double standards play out, and I think one thing that writers are doing well is portraying the frustration of society's norms during this time and the rules people had to conform to for characters like Betty, Tony, Kevin, and Clay.
Ooh, good.
LVP. So it's a two-parter. First is any parent uncle slash uncle Frank. All of them sucked, and it was really, really sad to see that Mary, the one parent that would absolutely not be taking any of this BS, wasn't in this episode. It was sad to not see any parents step up for the kids. Also, the writers in general. I think the season as a standalone season of Riverdale, and outside the context that this is the final season, is a great season, and it's super fun to watch. But in the context of it being the seventh and final season, I am disappointed in and losing hope. I really was going into the season thinking it would be a similar situation to Rivervale, where we are thrust into this unusual world where things are seemingly fine, but as we go on, we realize it's not what it should be, and we got a sense that we were building to something that would take us back to reality, and the payoff was great. This season, we aren't building to anything. I love Tabitha's material in 701 with the time travel plot, and I was hoping we'd get moments of this time travel plot sprinkled across the episode to remind us that we aren't at a point in the timeline where we should be. I'm not a fan of the idea that the final season is basically just throwing away six seasons of amazing development and stories without reason. Like, for example, the parents have done some whack-ass shit, but how on earth are Alice, Frank, Tom all gonna come back from the outright homophobic and sexist behavior they've shown if we get back to 2020s?
Thank you for that comment. That is like read my mind. That's so exactly how I feel right
Best
now.
Best moment. Yeah. The Kevin and Archie scenes. Again, Archie was such an amazing friend to Kevin, and I was so glad we got this dynamic as it's heavily underused in previous seasons. Agreed. Also, the moment where Betty did the twirl, seeing her give no fucks, made me so happy and excited. She's easily a standout this season. So to moment, the whole entire Kevin and Twyla scene, I think it had to be uncomfortable if they wanted to show the realism and the dark realities of Kevin's situation. Also, in general, I'm like, WTF at the writers managing to make me care for Kevin. Like, this isn't normal. Hey Kev, you and I have been in the same grade since kindergarten. This line made me cackle so loud because it's just so Archie. Like, yeah, that's how school works. And just every line in that scene in the gym was just so wholesome, because you can tell how even when he doesn't know Kevin is gay, he's still treating him respectfully and isn't following the crowd like Julian, etc. Also, Reggie is back next week. First thing I thought of was Envy's reaction to the trailer. I'm so excited. I've been waiting for him to appear. That's my God. Thank you for that.
I saw like the thumbnail and it has his face, so they're like really milking that Reggie's back.
At Marina, her best moment. Overall, I think it was a good episode, even though it was a tough episode, emotionally charged and upsetting to watch, but in some kind of good way because of how the characters reacted. I think the best moments were between the plot of Betty, Kevin, and Archie, pivoting between these two. Betty's plot beginning with slut shaming, and with her actions and reactions, she ends standing up on her own. Archie being there for Kevin, even though he doesn't understand or know what is happening, at the same time as realizing and questioning things for others and for himself. WTF moment, Veronica tanning with the lamp. For random.
That actually also is the best Twyla one.
Because I thought for a moment that she was going to be an ally for Kevin, but no.
No. I know, me too, actually.
That happened. So LVP too. Jughead's plot, for the most part, because I don't care, although it's surely one of the most important in the development of the season. MVP. Whatever. I'm going to give it to Kevin slash Casey Cod. It was a difficult episode, upsetting and emotionally charged. For Kevin and Casey's performance, made me feel every emotion throughout the entire episode. I 100% agree. I think Casey's shining this season, or like at least in this episode.
This 100%. Episode for sure. And I think that he's really carrying this story that they've given him really well.
Best line, Archie, I can't believe how screwed up the world is. Betty, I know, the hypocrisy. And the rest of the line, Archie to Frank, I've lost my appetite.
Yeah, he was like, fuck this.
He's like, fuck it. One more from at @tiffc83.
Ooh, okay.
Best moment, Betty and Archie being awkward at Pops or Veronica's movie theater commercial. WTF moment, finding out Kevin's dad set up the Twyla trauma with Julian. Yeah. I know.
I was like, that's fucked.
MVP, Brad Rayberry, for forgiving Jughead so dang quickly. And then LVP, Mr. Keller's whiskey, because I'll blame the poor parenting on that. Best line, that's more nuts than a bag of peanuts. Clay to Veronica at the theater. That's so cute.
That was cute.
That's a cute line. Let me just quickly check.
Check the tweeters.
Tweeters.
The Tweety Tweet 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 Tweeties.
The Tweeties.
Some wild things are happening on Twitter, aren't there?
At Shoney5 on it. Best moment, the Blossom commercial. WTF moment. Finding out Riverdale parents send their underage boys to have sex with a grown woman. MVP. Don't really have one. LVP. The parents. Betty, Archie, Jughead, Veronica for owning a business at 17. And the writers for failing. Kevin yet again. I don't think they failed Kevin. Someone tweeted it and it's true. We don't know anything about Kevin and Clay. Like, what's their story? Are they together?
Best line.
You've broken my heart, Betty.
She sucks. Alice sucks.
At Ninja Slayer Girl, best moment, Betty standing up to the guy who wanted her to give him a private show and was getting handsy. Veronica saving the theater. MVP, Betty, Veronica. LVP, same as last week, Julian. WTF moment, Twyla returning. Best line, well, a teenage girl with a mind and desires of her own, it's all very concerning, isn't it? Who says that?
Yeah, I like that line. And Betty says it to the psychologist. I loved it.
And that's it, guys. Thank you so much for sending in your thoughts and your roundups. So great.
Thank you so much. I would like to take this time to thank our patrons of the episode, our Rewinder squad, White, Cliff, Hannah, and Julia, our Lit Rewinders, Tina, Ann, and Kate, and our Mommy Rewinders, Becca, Sarah, and Tamala.
Thanks, y'all. If you would like to join our Patreon family, check us out at patreon.com/recap_rewind.
Also, make sure you check us out on all of our socials, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and also on Tiki Taki. You can also find us on our Google Podcast, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow, review, and comment to stay engaged with us at Recap Rewind. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.